Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm. or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville, or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Hesterville.
That would be a little weird.
Alternate names include Air Shop, Cedar Grove, and Palmer Spring. I've never heard of a town with four names.
They have alternate names, so it'd be a little weird if it was in all of them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the least weird one would be Palmer Springs, but that's just me. Wherever you are in our great state.
Hesterville's fine.
It's fine. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. If you are a grillsman, you know that beef is always going to be the star of the show. Nobody's upset when you come to the cookout and you say you're having steaks, you're having brisket, you're having tri-tip. Everybody loves it. Everybody wants it. Put it on the grill this weekend. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends, the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. If you're looking for the M over S, they've got it at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area to serve you, in Ridgeland by Fleet Feet and Flow by the Half Shell. You can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Priority One Bank, back after a one-day absence. Priority One Bank.
You're ready to throw them out.
Well, I mean, Super Truck, we've got to get a little better communication sometimes. This is just what I'm going to say. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers, you need to talk to a banker, a bank that knows you, that has a relationship with you. It's not just about your account number there. They know you by name. That's the kind of service you get at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Is it weird that both Michael Van Buren and Luke Crumbenhawk are going to South Florida?
That's very weird.
What a weird coincidence.
Very weird, very strange. But for South Florida to get both of those guys?
Yeah. I'm interested, I don't know what Hartline, what his offense is going to look like down there, but just
if Crumbenhawk is the backup there, he probably should have stayed at State.
At that point, yeah, he probably would have made a little bit more money, to be honest with you. But
yeah,
we'll see how it all pans out for him. All right, let's. I wish we just did a college football podcast. And my guess is we'll talk about this today on Sports Talk Mississippi. But I can't wait to dive into this LSU Damon Williams thing, because I went looking last night on No Context Flair, because there's a quote I knew, but I could not find the video where Flair says, "One of my claims to fame, besides thousands of women, is that I'm the dirtiest player in the game." And I just wanted to be like, attention, Lane Kiffin.
He's going to be, if he isn't already, he's the most hated man in college football. He
and
will
somehow
be.
Ole Miss looks like the good guys.
It's really insane, because literally there are hundreds of people that we probably know that are just like this man.
Yeah,
they were a perfect fit. And they come out of this smelling like a rose, when the whole time they were enabling this
they
man.
They enabled him.
They were enabling this man in every step of the way, and they just got upset because he left, and now it looks like they're the good guys.
And now they're spotting the ball. All right, well, whatever. All right, let's jump into Mississippi
That's
State.
Just our luck.
I know. It's not really pessimism when there's such a proven track record of it. It just is what it is.
It is what it is at this point.
We'll talk about Isaac Smith coming back in just a minute. But one thing we believe in here on Thunder and Lightning is we will give credit where credit is due. Mississippi State's cornerback room coming into this season was a huge question mark. coming into this offseason, I should say. You knew you were hopeful that Kelly Jones would stay, but beyond that, you didn't know what you were going to have. Let's fast forward a week from Sunday. Sunday afternoon, not long after we got wrapped up on recording the podcast, Kelly Jones announces he will be returning to Mississippi State. And then 3 days later, Mississippi State has put not one, not two, but three cornerbacks into the transfer portal room and has completely reshaped this room to all of a sudden going into the next season, this might be the best room you have on campus. And it's one of the better rooms in the SEC. How? Robbie Falk, that's my question to you. How?
It really is remarkable. And I think Corey Bell certainly deserves some credit here. I know that we've talked about Kevie Thompson's going to play a factor, and I believe Kevie did play a factor in these recruitments because I think he's probably doing a lot of work behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. But both of these guys that committed on Tuesday, mm-hmm. Singleton and Quentin Taylor, mm-hmm. both those guys are from the state of Florida. They have connections to Corey Bell. He has connections in the state of Florida. There's no doubt about it. And then you got to talk about Kelly Jones. We said from the start, if Kelly Jones comes back, it's likely due to the fact that Mississippi State's retained Corey Bell. We reported that, and you and I have been the biggest proponents of making a change at that position. And we came out and said, if Kelly Jones comes back, it means it's very likely that Corey Bell was retained.
Right.
So you got to give him credit here. I think he's done a great job completely flipping that room in 4 days, because you get Kelly announcement, you get Quentin Taylor and Caleb Singleton, and then Grimsley on a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
There's your essentially what? Probably your top four corners, and then you got Jet Jefferson and Javen Williams. So I mean, it is a very deep and talented room.
You've gone from Javen Williams being a starter, basically, to now he's your fifth or sixth corner. That's getting it done, no question. Real quick, maybe you know the answer. Why is Grimsley, why is he Jamrock?
I don't know. Is this what his mom named him?
No, it's Jameer. But people are calling him Jamrock, and I don't know why. There's no rock in the name.
No clue. That's
okay. All right.
That's what I've known as Jim Rock. I don't
know. I thought maybe you had the answer. Mysteries still abound. I don't know.
I don't know why things are the way that they are most of the time. But
That's fair. Fair.
Here we are.
Yeah. So, Quentin Taylor, Iowa State, one of the few Iowa State guys to not make the trip with Matt Campbell to State College and Penn State. I don't normally agree with the guy. I hate to bring him up on the show, but Colonel Kang is right about one thing. Going forward, you got to hire head coaches so they can bring players.
You're right off the bat, you're not going to be behind the eight ball.
Right. I mean, and it's got to be part of the interview process. It's got to be, are you sure if we hire you, 15 to 20 of your players are coming with you? Because look what happened to Southern Miss this year, right? Huff comes down there. He brings 20 guys. They go from 1-11 to 7-5. I mean, that's, you know, that's the kind of turnarounds that can happen. When look at Indiana with Cignetti. I mean, it's very similar. It's just got to be part of the process.
Well, and then, you know, we were talking whenever Jeff Lebby was hired. We were like, he's going to bring some guys from Oklahoma.
And he didn't.
He's going to bring some staff from Oklahoma. He didn't get staff, and he didn't get players from Oklahoma.
You got to have that connection. So I'll give the Colonel his due on that one. I agree with him on that. Quentin Taylor from Iowa State.
I just want to make this clear.
Yeah, go ahead.
To you, you've go just ahead. Made a massive mistake.
I'm aware.
You just made a massive mistake.
I know.
You could have easily just said, yeah, well, you know, like you could have just taken credit for yourself. The fact that you've mentioned this person on the show is now going to ruin you for the rest of time. It's never going to stop.
Time. The rest of time.
Yes, he will never forget that.
Okay. Well, I mean, I give him credit. The guy is wrong. You know, a broken clock is right twice a day. All right. So let's just leave it at that.
Okay. I'm just preparing you.
Okay. Quentin Taylor, Iowa State. Caleb Singleton, Syracuse. He was a true freshman.
We assume it's Caleb and not Caleb.
Oh, we don't know.
I don't know.
I got to do some. I got to look. I got to find a YouTube video or something we're talking about. I mean, it could easily be Khalib the way he spells it.
For
And
the
then
interest of this podcast, let's just say
we'll
Caleb.
say Caleb for today, and we'll come back and figure it out. And then Jahmyr Grimsley from Florida. Yeah, I mean, this is insane in that Mississippi State came into this offseason not, they felt good about Kelly Jones, but there was a real chance that they weren't gonna that going into spring, if they didn't fix it, their starting corners would have been Jett Jefferson and Javon Williams, as you just mentioned. And now those guys are fifth and sixth on the depth chart, and you've got real proven guys in here. Taylor and Jones could very easily be statistically the best cornerback duo in the SEC next year. And so
Yeah.
Corey Bell, we give him credit. Kevie Thompson coming in from Oklahoma State has obviously, it's obvious he's had some role here. All right. They brought him in for this. They brought him in to be a recruiter, to help out in this endeavor, and they've done that. So you combine that with, and I also think Arnett has some role in this too, because one of the things that you can sell if you're Arnett is, hey, Martin Emerson, third round pick. Manuel Forbes, first round pick. Decameron Richardson, fourth round pick. All these guys are in the NFL. They all played cornerback for me. I know how to make cornerbacks look good. I mean, right now, Arnett's got to be licking his chops, thinking I can be able to blitz a ton with Taylor and Jones out there at cornerback. Isaac Smith announces he will return for Mississippi State. Again, I like the way they're staggering these announcements. I'm going to guess, Robbie, they probably won't do it on Thursday because that's Ole Miss playoff day. Probably just you're gonna have to concede some of the headlines to them. But Friday feels like a day to announce Anthony Evans comes back, and that's really the last piece of the puzzle. But Smith announces he's coming back for another year. You do have to go out and get maybe another guy or two in the secondary at the safety position. But this secondary suddenly looks very stout. It looks like
Yeah,
it's going to be a strength for Mississippi State.
still some pieces to fill there with the safety group. There's certainly some room to grow there. You got to get more safeties in there and more talented safeties. Braylon Womack, I think, is a guy that you're probably going to have to count on next year some, at least getting some playing time.
Yeah.
And then Isaac Smith, I still don't know what his role is going to be on this defense. I would imagine he's going to be a safety and not playing the linebacker,
More
kind of
of a
hybrid
real
linebacker.
safety. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, an actual safe dog safety. So you really need a couple of safeties here if you're State and Zach Arnett, but it's not nearly as pressing of a situation as it is on the offensive line. I think this is the opposite of what we saw last year. Last year, we felt really good about the offense, even the offensive line at this point last year. Of course, we got to the spring and that was a different
Different
story.
animal there, yeah.
Yeah, but for the most part, I feel like the offense, you felt good about it. Defense, we were sitting there going, God, what are they doing on defense? They're not really getting any
Right.
difference makers at corner. They're not really getting difference makers on the defensive line. So it's kind of flipped. It looks like the defense is becoming a solid unit because you've returned a ton of players on that side of the ball. Look at the defensive line. You've got basically your entire defensive line back from last year. You've got basically all your linebackers, with the exception of Nick Mitchell, back. You've made your cornerbacks better. Now you got to add some safeties. But, and I think you got to add probably a couple more defensive linemen. They're after a really good one right now, and probably get one more, and you'll be set. It's coming together nicely. The retention piece to me is the biggest part
Been
here.
very impressive, yes.
The retention piece, because that has been a problem for Mississippi State in the last couple of years. They've had guys that they want to keep that they couldn't keep. And this year, I can't look at the transfer list and tell you anybody that this staff really wanted to keep. And I'm not just blowing smoke to make them look good. There is nobody on that transfer list that they were fighting hard to keep.
Right. I think they
You
would
can
have.
argue Jimothy Lewis, but I really believe at this point Mississippi State was just ready to move on there. He wasn't really picking things up like they wanted him to. They don't have anything to replace him right now, so it's hard to justify that.
I think they would have liked to have kept Stonka if Stonka had been willing to commit to defense. But as we saw yesterday in his transfer portal announcement, he's headed to the University of Memphis. They listed him as a wide receiver, and he's just got his heart set on that. And Mississippi State was not willing to play that, so he moves on. But if he was willing to commit to playing safety, I think they would have wanted to keep him. But that's about it.
Yeah, I think that's about it. So at worst, you're looking at a 95% retention rate here for Mississippi State. And if Stonka's just not willing to play safety, it's 100%. You know, like it's just it's it, it was nailing every single player you wanted to keep. And that is that to me is the most impressive thing for Mississippi State this offseason is there were a lot of guys on this roster that people around the SEC and around the country were coming after, were trying to get in the transfer portal. And to this point, because you always have to put that caveat out there,
You do.
nobody's done it. So it's a it's that to me is impressive. But also when I look at the transfer list right now of people coming in, and also just the visit lists in particular, like there last year we were looking at these visit lists that Paul was putting out, and it was a lot of like, all right, give me this dude and this dude. The other ones I don't
Right.
want to see on our roster.
Lot of low level group of six,
Yeah.
stuff like
And
that.
this year there really hasn't been a guy on any of these lists that I would say State just doesn't need to take.
Yeah.
Like the list have been very, very solid.
Agreed.
And then you look at the guys that have come in. I made this point yesterday on the board. Marquise Johnson, 3 years in the SEC of production. Jason Jenkins, 3 years in the SEC, 4 years in the Power Four, and was a contributor at both Tennessee and Florida State. AJ Swan, 2 year starter in the SEC, 3 years in the SEC total. Mario Nash, Power Four guy. He redshirted last year, but was by all indications was eventually going to play
Had a
for
ton of
them.
offers out of high school for power schools.
Right, Quentin Taylor. He was a starter by year two. Caleb Singleton in the Power Four. Caleb Singleton was playing significant reps as a true freshman in the Power Four. Every guy that you've gotten, Grimsley contributor in the SEC. Every guy that you've gotten so far are Power Four players. Every single one of them. And that is a big change. And it's not like you're picking up the, like I said the other day, the Wilkie Dinauds that didn't play, that couldn't play at that level. These guys have contributed, or in Mario Nash's case, he just redshirted. These guys have contributed inside the SEC. That's a significant difference for Mississippi State. That's fishing in a different pond than where they've been the last couple of years. I don't think that you can ignore that. So it's building. There's a lot of work for Jeff Lebby to do. He's got to get better at game management. They have got to improve the offensive line, or he's probably not coaching again after next year at Mississippi State. But I don't think there's any doubt that this looks a lot different this offseason than it did the last two. And it's
100%.
gotten better each of the last two offseasons.
100%. And as you mentioned, we are at the point now with what they've brought in that, the corners, fine. They need another safety, okay. But it's time to start seeing the big guys lining up. Until that happens, right now, I like what they've done, don't get me wrong, but until they improve that offensive line, I don't have a lot of hope for next season. They've got to fix that. They know they have to fix it, so we'll see what happens in the next few weeks. All
Yeah,
right.
I just don't think that that's a situation that if you just say, oh, we'll be good what we got, I don't think that that works. I think that it's got to be better, or it's
Agreed.
to
They
me, it's
cannot.
that simple. It's like even if your defense is a lot better, you cannot go into next season with massive issues up front.
No. Agreed.
You might be as good as you were this year,
Yeah.
or maybe a little better. But I just don't think
You can't take the leap you
long.
want to take at that point.
No,
Like if you
no.
tell me your next year your starting tackles are Javin James and Blake Steen, I'm not gonna, I'm gonna be hard pressed to predict a big step forward for Mississippi State.
Yeah.
All right, I want you to help me make a command decision right now. Okay, it's
Okay.
Wednesday as we're recording. Mississippi State versus Oklahoma tonight, 6 o'clock at the Humphrey Coliseum. We've given Future Brian some time off, and Mississippi State's on a little bit of a winning streak right now. Do we Just come back and talk about that, you and I, on Friday's podcast? Or does future Brian step in right now?
I think that I'm a creature of habit, and I believe in superstition. I believe that we should bypass this. Well, now, if they lose tonight,
we can bring him back in.
Then it's not future Brian that's causing it.
Okay.
If they win, future Brian was the problem all along. It had nothing to do with Chris Jans. It had nothing to do with the players. It was all Brian's fault.
Future Brian.
Well,
not I didn't do it. Future Brian did it.
I'm
agree with
blaming
that.
You.
But that being said, we'll go with that. So Mississippi State, Oklahoma, whatever happens, we will talk about that on tomorrow's podcast when we also look ahead to Mississippi State's trip to the Bluegrass State and the Kentucky Wildcats. I will say this. If State wins on Wednesday night, I will effort to get an interview for the Mississippi State Kentucky game. We'll get somebody on from who covers the Wildcats. Speaking of interviews, though, we'll jump into that right now. Let's move into the rest of the show. It's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, the place to find smoked Southern soul food, the best place in town. I mean, really, honestly, if you said what's your favorite place in town, Two Brothers is got to be it. It's it. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. It's because I get something. It's really the only restaurant in town where I get something different every time I go. Other restaurants, I'm kind of locked into the same thing every time. You know, that's not a bad thing. It means they've got a great dish there that I like to eat. But Two Brothers just has so many things on the menu that I enjoy, and that's why I go back there more often than any place else, because I've got variety. If you want to enjoy a great meal right now in Starkville, it's easy to do. Head over to the Cotton District, Two Brothers Smoked Meats, for some smoked Southern soul food. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for over 50 years.
50, brother.
When you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. If you need a new copier, a new printer, new laptops, new computers, whatever it is. And then if you need service after the sale, they're there for you. They're there to help you get everything taken care of and get you back up and running, doing it quickly. A lot of times it's the same day. Why? Because they're in Mississippi just like you. 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon & Co. is the place to go to grab the Mississippi State gear that you are looking for. Everything maroon and white, everything that you need, the logos that you want, the interlocking, right there. The state script, the M over S, they've got it all at Maroon & Co. Use our promo code THUNDER15 to save 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. For your next trip to the Hump, for your next trip to Duty Noble Field, for your next trip to Davis-Wade Stadium, make sure you've gone to Maroon & Co. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. I've been telling you guys for a long, long time that Scruggs has what you want for less. Well, I mean, I don't know what else I can say at this point other than tell you that for this new year, they've got the deals you're looking for on John Deere tractors and mowers. Right now, 0% financing for up to 84 months. It'll be 2033 before there's any. You have to worry about it. On the John Deere 5E tractor, or 0% for 72 months on all compacts. And if you need a new ride for the trails or the timber, grab a Gator at 0.9%. That's less than one, Robbie, for 36 months, or 3.9% for 84 months. Great deals available. Talk to the credit department there at Scruggs. They have what you want for less. In Saltillo on Tom Watson Drive. This offer's valid through February 2nd. If you're a landowner in the state of Mississippi, the name to know is Good Hope Land and Timber. Good Hope Land and Timber, years of experience helping landowners like you make smart, sustainable, and profitable decisions. And of course, right now, if you're in the market to buy or sell land, Good Hope Land and Timber can make that happen for you as well. You need experts behind your decisions when you're talking about your land. You don't want to be the one who's like, well, I decided to do this and I screwed up. Don't be that guy. Call Good Hope Land and Timber today and put their expertise to work for you. Locally trusted, landowner approved, Good Hope Land and Timber. All right, earlier today, I talked with Chris Burke of the SEC Network, former Tennessee Volunteer, All-American baseball player, to get his thoughts on some of the great hitters here in the conference. He's very, very high on Ace Reese. We'll just put it that way. and his thoughts on some of State's opponents. I've been using these interviews to kind of get some scouting reports on the guy on the team State has to play. Got his thoughts on some of those. Also got his thoughts on the Bulldogs. And I did do what I mentioned, Robbie, where I said, hey, everybody I've been talking to has been pumping State up. Where are your concerns about this team? He went into some detail about that as well. All interviews here on Thunder and Lightning are brought to you by Alora Modern Wellness. In the new year, everybody likes to make those resolutions about getting fit, but a big part of that is always going to be recovery. Your body has to feel good for you to work hard, and that's where Alora Modern Wellness comes in. So many options what they can do for you in terms of making your body feel right, from upper body, lower body, massage, stretching, cryotherapy, heat. They've got it all at Alora Modern Wellness. The website's aloramodernwellness.com. You can book all of your services right there, or you can call them at 662-268-9255. Let's go down to my interview with Chris Burke of the SEC. Pleased to welcome to the podcast for the first time, Chris Burke, one of the top hitters in the history of the Southeastern Conference, now covering this great sport of college baseball for the SEC Network. And Chris, I want to get you to answer like a cliched kind of question to start here. We always talk about the start of the season, and you know, it's cold here in the South. Is pitching always ahead of hitting at the start of the season because of the weather? And when the weather warms up, that's when the bats start get going?
You know, that is very cliche. I think it's generally true. I think some of that depends on what your roster composition is and who you're facing. But I tell you what, a ton of it has to do with the weather, right? And we you know, we start this crazy college baseball ride in the middle of February, which every year everybody thinks that's crazy, including those of us who love it to death, because it is crazy. But you know, it feels a little stuck where it is, even though I do think maybe there's some momentum for the 1st of March. But you and I both know the NCAA has way bigger fish to fry right now.
We can let them slide a little while on baseball.
Yes.
They got other problems. Yeah, I agree.
Yes, and those of us that make our hay in the Southeast aren't as concerned about it as those in the Midwest and the Northeast. So, you know, but weather does impact offense early for sure.
So when we talk about the top hitters in the SEC this season, and I think some of them play here in Starkville, who are the guys that you have an eye on that you think these could be your you know, batting champion, home run guys this year in the SEC?
Well, it's a really talented list. Mike Rooney and I were doing a podcast the other day on what I call the fake season, which is the pre-conference. You know, everybody's podcasts like yourself, and I'm a part of it just as well. We love stuff to talk about. We're so geeked up for the start of the season,
right?
You know, that we want to dive into it, right? And we start where I get a kick out of is when we start giving awards. Like, wait, you don't call it awards; they're predictions,
yeah.
Right? So when you start calling them awards, that's fake. That's a fake, a false reality, because you can't win anything until you've done something in live games. That being said, there is a ton of talent in the Southeastern Conference coming back. Some guys that, and to be fair to all the fake awards, they're generally based on guys that have already produced at a high level the year before. Ace Reese would be one of the guys that, you know, we would all put in that conversation. And last year, to me, I was kind of beating the drum for Ace Reese late in the season because he was so good. Mm-hmm. In conference play, I mean, his SEC numbers were startling, really, this year. And to me, the excitement around a player that, you know, played that well in conference play as a sophomore, when, you know, the team was rallying to try to make the tournament, and he was clearly had a bullseye on his back, and obviously, you know, they were winning. Let's be honest. They were winning with offense for the most part. I just think that bodes very well for a kid moving forward. So, you know, if you're looking for preseason player of the year predictions, Ace Reese would certainly be on that list. I mean, he's the type of kid that could play at that kind of level, because he just, you know, he's already proven it. right? I mean, he hit 402 in SEC play last year. And I think his OPS was – what was his OPS? I got it right here in front of me. 1344. 15 homers and 12 doubles in SEC play. Yeah, it was obscene. You know, I think you could make a strong argument. He was the hitter of the year in the conference. You know, Evo Loy ended up being the player of the year. Mm-hmm. So anyway, a lot to be excited about with Mississippi State in general, but specifically Ace Reese.
Let's talk about a couple of teams here in the conference, and we'll start with your alma mater. I've given everybody the disclaimer. I am a diehard Giants fan. So okay. I'm very excited about Tony Vitello coming to San Francisco. I think it's something that is different, and the Giants kind of needed to be different. But what does it mean for Tennessee? Mm-hmm. What does year one for Josh Elander look like in Knoxville?
I think it's going to be fascinating. I mean, you know, another thing Rooney and I have kicked around, you know, about 1,000 times, which is the impact of losing a presence like Tony Vitello. You can't act like that doesn't have an impact. It's going to be felt, and it is felt, I'm sure, every single day on Tennessee's whole campus, not just, you know, like Tennessee played a home basketball game last night. If Tony Vitello was the head coach, he'd have been at the game, mm-hmm. and they would have shown him on TV. Heck, they might have even interviewed him. You know, that's how kind of famous mm-hmm. he had become. And so you don't – create that kind of presence and then leave and not have it be felt. So all that said, that doesn't mean their baseball team is going to suffer, but their baseball program will be a little less sexy, so to speak. It'll be a little less buzzworthy, I think, just because Tony was just a classic kind of bigger than the sport personality where love him or hate him, you talked about him and you watched him, which is really weird. In college baseball, we don't – I mean, you know, Ron Polk is about as famous as any college baseball coach ever, maybe outside of Skip Bertman. But, like, I don't know, Brian. You tell me, how many people have Ron Polk jerseys?
Not a ton, yeah.
I mean, they're out there, but, like, not – whereas, like, number 22 Vitello was the most bought jersey on Tennessee's – campus. So it's just a weird deal. That, you know, again, I've said that being said, I think twice now, he left a really good team and they are very talented. Maybe not as quite as proven, maybe not as many certainties as teams in past, but I do think they'll be very good. I think, you know, they bring back Tegan Coons and Brandon Arvidsson are probably two of the pitchers off of last year's roster that they need to make big jumps. And then Evan Blanco and Landon Mack, two transfers that they're expecting a ton out of. And if those four guys pitch the way they think they can, I think they'll be plenty good on the mound. And then with the bat, you got Henry Ford, one of the few transfers that Brian O'Connor didn't get to come with him from Virginia, which is interesting because he's a Tennessee kid. And so I think that must have had a lot to do with it. So he goes to Tennessee. Levi Clark's a returning bat that they're expecting a lot of. Reese Chapman's a guy that was kind of up and down last year, but there's huge upside. And then I think a name to watch for on that roster that has the potential to be a really, really high impact is Blaine Brown. So write that name down, transfer from Rice. I don't know how much he's going to pitch, but he's up to 97, 98 left-hander on the mound. And then it's like big time raw power with the bat. So they's kind of projected as maybe the DH to start. But that's a name to watch for is somebody that maybe isn't a household name, but could be 2 months from now.
So State's last home series of the year is going to be against Auburn. Auburn is a program under Butch Thompson. I feel like they're very feast or famine. They're either in Omaha or they're struggling to make it to the SEC tournament. I know it's different now with that they're bringing everybody, but what is this Auburn team going to be this year? Are they going to be closer to those great teams that Butch Thompson has had, or are they going to struggle a little bit this year?
Well, it's funny. It's funny that you went there. Mike Rooney, my partner in crime on our podcast, is like very bullish on Auburn. And, in a world of so much transferring and turnover, Auburn has arguably the most stable returning lineup in the league. I mean, Chase Frelick and Chris Rimbert and Eric Guevara and Bub Terrell, Lucas Steele, Cade Ballou, like they return so many players that made significant impact on last year's team. So you feel very good about the offense. The flip side is, you know, the three returning guys that are supposed to be right in the middle of what they're doing pitching-wise, Griffin Graves and Andreas Alvarez and Jackson Sanders, like these dudes didn't do a ton last year. And then there's, you know, a transfer from Michigan State, a transfer from Virginia Tech. So it's like, as much as you love the offense and as much as you believe in what they return offensively, to me, the pitching staff has the equal amount of question marks. So I would be less bullish on Auburn, but the track record of Butch Thompson figuring things out on the mound and the stability of the lineup would make me be a buyer on them being a, you know, certainly a top 25 team. I'm just not certain they're a top 10 team right now.
And then, you know, Mississippi State and Ole Miss always connected at the hip. The Rebels last year bounced back from back-to-back terrible seasons, were a host, probably should have advanced to the Super Regional round, but they were unfortunate against Murray State there in Oxford. What do the Rebels look like this year? Is Mike Bianco got that program back to where it's supposed to be?
Gosh, what a great question. I mean, they did lose a lot. I mean, Mitchell Stanford and Judd Unimark being gone is not
– the world's tallest second baseman.
Yes, the you know, Travis Kelce playing second base. just a presence like very few. And so, you know, it's – you don't replace that. There's no way to replace that. Now, like every SEC team, and I'll just say, Brian, like this is the part that fascinates me about the SEC. You know, in football and even in basketball, I don't know how many schools – if you got their athletic director behind closed doors, you'd mm-hmm. say, would they say, yes, we're trying to win the national championship? Like, you know, publicly they might, hey, we're in. You know, I'm not saying they're not spending their revenue share, but are they in at the level of they're trying to win the last game of the season? I don't know. Maybe six or eight team in hoops, maybe six or eight teams in football, maybe. I feel like there's like 12 in baseball, mm-hmm. you know? And so – with that being said, like you look at the pieces that Ole Miss has and you know the experience they bring back on the mound, specifically with Hunter Elliott coming back to college baseball. I mean, I don't know what Hunter Elliott's making, but there's probably an argument that he's the highest paid player in college baseball, and with good reason. I mean, the guy's track record's insane, and he's essentially a triple-A pitcher pitching in college baseball. Judd Unimark is back. I'm sorry. I misread my notes here. He is back. So you do yeah. bring back that. Forgive me. They did lose Sanford though. And so you look at Unimark back and you look at Hunter Elliott back and then Austin Fawley and all the impact he made. And, you know, I kind of love Dom Decker they got from Murray State, like just a grinder who, you know, is going to get on base and hit for a high average. And I think Hayden Federico is going to make a big jump. So there's some pieces there I really like. Here's the problem, Brian. It's kind of like two things can be true. Like they can be just as talented and maybe even better than last year and still not get to Omaha because, man, the competition – or maybe even potentially have a worse record, right? Mm-hmm. Right? Because just the schedule and when you play people and how healthy you stay and the margins are so slim in the league. But you – I look at Ole Miss's roster and say, okay, this is a top 20 roster. It was a top 20 team last year, and they certainly look like they have invested at a level that will put them back in the conversation. And, you know, getting to Mississippi State, like, goodness. I mean, Mississippi State, you know, it wouldn't shock me if at some point Mississippi State's – I think they're definitely going to be a top 10 team preseason. I think some people like them, you know, on the edges of the top five, and with good reason. I mean, you look at the investment that they've put into the players they return, the you know, just Noah Sullivan and Ace Reese alone. You're like, golly, these are extremely physical players. I think Aiden Teal is going to make a huge jump, and you know, so you look at the pieces that Brian O'Connor brought with him, and then of course we know the fireballer whose name is escaping me. Who's the left-hander they got out of the draft?
Bauer, Jack Bauer.
Yeah, Jack Bauer. Like Jack Bauer, like he is going to be worth the price of admission every time they give him the ball. I'm fascinated where he fits in, and I think the great thing is they have so many pieces that they like in front of him that I don't think it's like, okay, if Jack Bauer turns into, let's just say, Dylan Volantis from last year from Texas, then Mississippi State hits their ceiling. I think a little bit like we've seen from some of these famous pitchers from LSU that show up on campus, like I think what they get from Jack Bauer will be a bonus more so than they have to have him be elite for them to reach their ceiling. But you look at McPherson and Valencis and Foster and Stone, like they've got plenty of pieces that I think they Pitzer from South Carolina that, you know, again, not great numbers, but a kid that brings
with
him
summer
some,
too.
Yeah. Had a great summer. Some a kid that brings with him some experience. So I think they didn't go get Brian O'Connor, and Brian O'Connor didn't leave what he built to be okay. Like this is an all-in play for Mississippi State. And like I said, no disrespect to Mississippi State in the other two major men's sports, but I'm not certain they're trying to win the national championship in those two sports. They are definitely trying to win the whole thing in baseball. And so I am fired up for Mississippi State baseball because we all know that the sport is better when Mississippi State is elite.
So let me ask you this, though, and I've had about four or five national guys on, and they've all pumped up Mississippi State like that. Where are your concerns with this team? Where do you look at Mississippi State and go, well, that might be a problem, or I don't know about that guy?
Well, I still think, you know, if we're – I think one of the problems that has existed over the last few years with Mississippi State is their defense.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I wouldn't call them overly athletic, and they haven't played great catch. And, again, in a league where the margins are so slim, I mean, Brian, you cover them. How many games have they lost in the last two seasons defensively?
A few. We'll just say a few.
I mean, let's go back to the Virginia Regional 2 years ago. I mean, goodness. I'm sure that one still stings. So, this roster to me is going to have to prove that they can play – defense, I don't know that as offensive as they are, I don't know that they got to be one of the top 10 defenses in the country, but they got to play defense at a higher level. And again, they've brought in and bring back some experience, but, you know, I don't know that any of the experiences was, you know, probably Valencius is the most experienced dude that has a real track record that you love. Certainly McPherson, everybody's excited about, but like, there's still plenty of question marks on the mound.
We'll see how it all pans out. Chris, really appreciate your time today, my friend, and I'll try to have you back on during the season for sure. Chris Burke, SEC Network, the podcast he's referencing, that's the D1 Baseball podcast with him and Mike Rooney. I would imagine most Mississippi State fans, being the baseball diehards that they are already listening to you, but if you're not, definitely check it out. Chris, man, appreciate your time today.
Appreciate you. Thanks.
So, Robbie, obviously you haven't heard the interview yet. I haven't posted it yet. But I asked him, you know, what's your concern for Mississippi State? And he said defense. He said, this is not, you know, and you know this, that with Lamonis these past few years, this team was like really hit or miss defensively. Sometimes they would be really good. I think in 2024, they were a good defensive team. Last year before that, they were not as good. So, that's his biggest concern. He said, he's like, this is not the most athletic team in the world. Right, you know, Sullivan, Reese, they're great hitters, but these aren't guys that you think are going to be making great defensive plays. Is that, when you think about what concerns you about Mississippi State baseball, is defense near the top of your list?
I mean, it would probably be one of the things that they're not as strong at is what I would say. I don't think it's going to be a weakness by any means. I think that when you look at the outfield, Aiden Till is going to be able to cover a lot of range in center field. Bryce Chance has been really good in the outfield. So I'm not concerned about those two. We'll see whoever the right fielder is.
Mm-hmm.
Ace Reese, I imagine, will be better than he was last year, and he was serviceable. That was a guy that we thought he could be a liability there at third base, and he wasn't that bad. You know, the catching situation, we'll see. First base, we'll see, obviously. But you know,
they
second
can't
base
be worse at catcher than they've been the past couple years, where they just could not throw anybody out.
I'll say
this.
It can't
be worse.
I don't think that their defense is going to be worse under Brian O'Connor than it was under Chris Simonis. I think this is going to be a better coach defensive team. And they might not be as athletic as, you know, some of the better defensive teams, but I think they're serviceable to the point where it's not going to be a huge concern. And the offense is going to be so good, they could probably overcome some of that. I just don't think it's going to be a major detriment. But if you're looking at something, if you're trying to find something that they won't be great at, that would probably be where it is.
Yeah, I agree. All right, tomorrow's show, probably some more portal news to hit up. Well, we will recap basketball, Mississippi State versus Oklahoma, and we will look ahead to Mississippi State versus Kentucky. I feel pretty good about state's chances being 2-0 coming into this weekend, but we shall
it's
see.
It's a really big game.
It's a big game. Are students back at school back in session? And they're not, are they? I don't think
I
they
don't
are.
Know. I don't think.
I think the school starts next week.
It starts next week, but some will probably start filtering in. A lot of them already have.
Yeah, I think the 6 o'clock tip helps you as well. Like 8 o'clock.
It should be a decent crowd, you would think.
Yeah, you would think. All right, we'll talk about it tomorrow. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.